So, good morning again. I just want to say thanks to all of you that came today. This was pretty funny. I don't know if y'all noticed this, but Deb even wore a mask to join us today, so that's kind of cool. That was pretty fun to watch and to see. I love that the picture of Alan is picking his nose. So, it's very appropriate for Easter. So, thanks, Trey. Appreciate that. That was cool to have those pictures there. Thanks for Gary and Ginger for lining that up. That was pretty awesome. So, happy Easter! And I know some of you looking at this, especially if you've been a part of Hub City for a while, you're like, is Jonathan wearing a suit jacket? And yes, I am wearing a suit jacket, and let me tell you why. I mean, some of you know I'm not a suit guy. In fact, I think suits were invented by Satan, but that's a whole other thing. But I only usually wear a suit on one of two occasions, right? I'll wear a suit for a wedding, and I'll wear a suit for a funeral. And I used to have both a wedding and a funeral suit, but my funeral suit doesn't fit me anymore, so I only have a wedding suit. And in fact, this isn't even my suit jacket. This is my son Nathan's suit jacket. And the reason why, it's kind of a slim fit, and, you know, the camera adds 10 pounds, so I just wanted to, you know, look appropriate online for this today. But the truth is, the reason I wear a suit, thank you, Trey. The reason I wear a suit is really, one reason is for an occasion of death. And the other reason I wear a suit is on an occasion of a celebration, of a wedding. Well, this weekend, we're joining with Christians all around the globe to remember the death of Jesus and to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So I kind of wore a suit jacket today to remind us of both occasions. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I have been thinking a lot about death lately. In fact, I've probably thought about death more over the past few weeks than I've ever thought about it in my entire life. And maybe you're the same thing is true for you. I mean, death seems to be everywhere. We're constantly being updated on the totals of people who have died from coronavirus. I mean, there's this pervasive fear and preoccupation with death that kind of is surrounding us. And as a result, for many of us, death has become something to be afraid of. You ever thought about that? Death has become something to be afraid of. In fact, you may be watching this today, and that is true for you, that you are, if you are honest, you're afraid of death. And the reason why, it makes sense, right? I mean, death is kind of the unknown. We're not sure what happens when we die, and some of us believe that something happens after death. Some other people believe that nothing happens after death. And so death, for many, many people, has become something to be afraid of. And it's as if the events of the past few months have brought this whole issue of death front and center. Well, I want us to go back 2,000 years and just to imagine, just a minute. Imagine that you go back 2,000 years and you're alive on the Sunday after Jesus has been crucified and you're kind of hanging out with the disciples. I think you would discover that the disciples are pretty consumed with death. That death was all that the disciples could think about. They were thinking about the death of their leader. Here was this guy, Jesus, that they had followed for 3 years. And all of a sudden, he's not with them anymore. They'd seen him be executed on a Roman cross. They were also thinking of their own death. They were worried about their own death. Last week, we looked at this passage out of the Gospel of John, where John tells us that the apostles, the disciples, had locked themselves in a room. And the reason they'd locked themselves in a room is because they were afraid. They were scared to death. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. See, for them, death was front and center. Death was something to be afraid of. But then something happened. And what happened was Jesus, who was dead, whom they had seen die on the cross, he came back to life. And that event, the event that we call the resurrection, the event that we celebrate with Christians all around the world today, it changed everything, not just for them, but for all of us, as we're going to see this morning. See, as we're going to see, the resurrection can give us hope in the face of death. In fact, the resurrection can take away the fear of death for those of us who are followers of Jesus. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you have a Bible, I'd love for you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You might need to do it on a paper Bible since you're watching this on your screen. But 1 Corinthians 15 is this fascinating chapter that's all about the resurrection. It's a really, really long chapter. We're not going to look at all of it today. We're just going to look at a few verses at the end, but let me kind of tell you what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Remember, Paul's writing to a group of Christians who live in the city of Corinth, and he kind of rebuked them throughout the letter because they were, if you thought our church was messy, they were way messier than our church. And when he gets to chapter 15, he addresses the resurrection. And what he does at the beginning of the chapter is he gives all these proofs, these evidences, to kind of remind them that the resurrection actually happened. It wasn't something that somebody made up. It wasn't a myth, but it was something that was seen by so many different people, including him. They'd seen the resurrected Jesus. And then next he goes on and kind of says that if the resurrection didn't happen, that our faith is useless, that we're all wasting our time and we should be doing something else on Sunday morning. And then he kind of spends the rest of the chapter kind of laying out the implications of the resurrection. And there are a lot of implications because, like I said, it's a really long chapter. And I encourage you to maybe take some time the rest of the day or sometime later today to read the entire chapter. But we're just going to focus on a few verses at the end of the chapter. And what we're going to see is that after Paul kind of talks about the resurrection and all the implications of the resurrection, he ends his discussion by talking about the implications of the resurrection on death, which seems a little bit weird, but you'll see why it's so, so important. Because Paul tells us why we can have hope when death is front and center. What Paul tells us is why we can not be afraid even when death is all around us. See, since the resurrection happened, and since some of us are going to experience the resurrection one day, those of us who are followers of Jesus, there's no need for us to fear death. Let me show you what we're talking about. We're going to start reading in verse 54, and let's look at what Paul says here. He says, "Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled." Now, he starts off by saying, since the resurrection happened, then in light of the fact that the resurrection of Jesus happened, and in light of the fact that one day those of us who are followers of Jesus will be resurrected ourselves, that since that happened, we're going to get new bodies. We're not going to have bodies that are going to die anymore. We're going to have brand new bodies, which we could spend our whole time this morning talking about that, but we're not going to talk about that. Because he says this next. Look at what he says will happen. This will be fulfilled. He says, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Now, he's quoting a passage from Isaiah here where Isaiah basically says the same thing. But I love the word picture that this paints here when it says that death is swallowed up in victory. I think it's this amazing picture. In our hub group this past week, Callie was talking about this verse. And she said that usually when we think about death as something that swallows up life. I mean, when we go to a funeral, when somebody we love dies, death kind of consumes everything. But what Paul does here is he flips all of that on its head. He flips it upside down and tells us that because of the resurrection of Jesus, death no longer is going to swallow up life, but death is going to be swallowed up itself in victory. And that because of our promised resurrection, that one day we don't have to worry about being swallowed up by death, but instead, death is going to be swallowed up in victory. And that the thing that we're most afraid of, death, we don't have to worry about. In fact, what Paul says next is a little shocking. Paul does something that is kind of bold and a little brash and maybe absurd. He actually taunts death next. Like the thing that most of us are afraid of, Paul like stares it in the face and he taunts it. Look at what he says. He says, "Oh death, where's your victory? Oh death, where is your sting?" In other words, Paul lets us know that because of the resurrection of Jesus and because of our coming resurrection one day, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, death is now powerless. It has no power over us. And not only that, he says the sting of death is removed. In other words, that the pain of death can be removed from us. Now, before we go any further and talk about what he says next, I want to say something about death that all of us know, right? Look at this here. We all know this. 100% of us will die. You know, this is really encouraging. It's like, thanks for joining us this Easter morning. You know, we're glad you're here. You're all going to die. It's all good. But we all know this is true, right? I mean, the statistics have always shown that 1 out of 1 people die. Like, we've known that since the beginning of history. I mean, that's just how it is. 100% of us will die. We know this is true. But something that those of us who are Christians also believe is true is this, that the reason 100% of us will die is because of death. I mean, because of sin, excuse me. Death is the result of sin. That's what we as Christians believe. And in fact, that's what Paul says next in verse 56. Look at what he writes. He says, "For sin is the sting that results in death." Do you want to know why you die? Well, it's because of sin. And he says, "And the law gives sin its power." And what Paul is getting at here is that the reason 100% of us die is because of sin. Now, we all know what sin is, right? Sin is breaking the commands of the laws of God. I like to think of it this way. Sin is not doing the things that we're supposed to do, and sin is doing the things that we're not supposed to do. That's what sin is, right? And I think if all of us are honest, no matter if you're a Christian or not, all of us believe that we have sin, that we're guilty of sin, that we're guilty of not doing the things we're supposed to do, that we're guilty of doing some things that we're not supposed to do. And since we're all sinners, then death is kind of a consequence. It's a future reality for all of us. Now, I know there are a number of causes to death. You could die from COVID-19. You're probably not going to die from COVID-19, but you could, right? You could die from a heart attack. You could die from a car accident. You could die because your wife poisoned you because you made her mad during this time where you're stuck at home together as a family. I mean, there are a number of things that could cause our death, but the truth is that because of sin, all of us are going to die because all of us are sinners. Sin brought death into the world. Before sin, there was no death. After sin, just a consequence of our sin is death. Now, that's kind of depressing, right? In fact, I think I would say that's extremely depressing. I mean, if all we have to look forward to is death, which is what some people believe, right? Some people believe that all we have to look forward to after this life is death, and then there's nothing else. And if that's you, man, that's kind of depressing. I know that's why some people say, well, we got to live it up now. We got to make the most of this life so that, because I'm not going to have anything else. But that's not what we as Christians believe. And if that's why we have something more to look forward to beyond death. And that we read about in verse 57. Look at what Paul writes. He said, "But thank God." In other words, we've got something different to look forward to. He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the good news for those of us who call ourselves Christians, when death is front and center as it is today, that there is victory over sin and death for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's victory, there's conquering over death. Because of Jesus, the same Jesus who died and rose from the dead, and because of his resurrection that we celebrate today, Jesus is now the conqueror over sin and death, and you and I are the benefits of that. We are the beneficiaries. I can't even talk. The beneficiaries of that. So, what's my point? Well, look at this right here. Since Jesus has been raised from the dead, we no longer need to fear death. Now, I know that's challenging in our time where death is front and center, and it seems like everybody is afraid of death if they're really, really honest. Those of us who are Christians, because Jesus rose from the dead, we no longer need to fear death. That doesn't mean we need to be stupid, but we don't have to worry about death. We don't need to fear death. And also, because Jesus has been raised from the dead, death no longer has power. Since Jesus has been raised from the dead, the sting of death has been removed. And then since Jesus has been raised from the dead, we have hope. Now, what hope is that? We have hope of a life that's beyond this life. We have hope that this life isn't all there is, that our life doesn't just end when we die, but that this life is preparation for the next life, and the next life is one that will last for all eternity. And because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can have hope that he has taken care of our sin problem that separated us from him. We can have hope that he has conquered death, and we as his followers will one day conquer death as well. That is good news, because Jesus has been risen, or has been raised from the dead. But, now if you'll notice, this is a really big but. But, all that I just said
is only true for those who are followers of Jesus, which is a little depressing, right? It's a little scary, actually. It might be something to be afraid of. See, what Paul is saying in these verses that we've just looked at is he's saying that Christians don't have to be afraid of death. But for those people who don't have a relationship with Jesus, who've never given their life to Jesus, there really is something to be afraid of. And that's why, if that's you, I implore you to give your life to Jesus, to surrender your life to Jesus. Jesus died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin, the death that you should have died. Jesus died in your place and made a way possible for you to have a right and restored relationship with your Heavenly Father, who created you to have a relationship with Himself. See, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, He was buried, and then He was raised from the dead so that the sting of death could be removed, so that the consequences of death are no longer relevant to those of us who are followers of Jesus, because Jesus is the one who has conquered death Himself. That's why we can say, as Paul said in verse 57 again, but thank God He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want what Paul says here to be true, not just for me, but for all of us. For everyone in the world, that everyone would be able to say, thanks be to God, He has given me victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ. And if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I just beg of you, I plead with you, I implore you to surrender your life to Him. He's waiting for you. He's been chasing you down since the day you've been born. And He wants to have a relationship with you. And that was made possible by what we celebrate this weekend. Because on this Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate the fact that Jesus has been risen from the dead. And I don't use the word fact accidentally. I actually believe it's a fact that Jesus rose from the dead. It's not a myth. It's not something that we kind of use to teach a moral or something like that. No, it's a fact that Jesus actually rose from the dead, and that certain people saw that, and it changed everything for them. And for those of us who call ourselves Christians, it changes everything for us as well. We no longer, or one of the things that changes, is we no longer have to fear death. We no longer need to be afraid of death, because we follow one who has conquered death. And the one we follow can be trusted. Even when the world seems to be falling apart, even when it seems like death is dictating our decisions and the way we live our life, that we no longer have to live in fear, but we can live in hope, because Jesus is the one who has conquered death. But here's the deal. Even though we don't have to fear death, we do have something to be afraid of. But I'm not going to talk about that this week. I hope you join us back next Sunday at 10:30 as we kind of pick up this discussion and figure out what it is that we actually do need to be afraid of. But right now, I want us to kind of respond to what God has said to us by worship. One of the best responses that we can have to the death and resurrection of Jesus, where Jesus died for us and rose from the dead so that we could also be conquerors of death, is to worship our great and mighty and awesome God. And so I invite you guys, to wherever you are, to continue singing with us, and that you would sing loud, and that it doesn't matter if you can sing good. I don't really care if you can sing good. You're just going to annoy your family. Sing loud in worship of the one who died and rose from the dead. Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to just take some time and to remember and celebrate your resurrection. We acknowledge that you are alive, that you have risen from the dead, and for me, that makes all the difference. That changes everything. That gives my faith meaning. That gives me hope. That takes away my fear, and my prayer is that it would take away the fear of the people who are listening and participating online with us right now. And for anybody who's listening who does not have a relationship with you, would you just chase them down, God? Would you go after their heart? Would you convince them that you are real and that you love them? God, Right now we're going to sing to you some songs because we love you. We love you because you loved us and you showed your love to us by sending your son to die for us. We want to respond right now by singing some songs to you. Take our words just as worship. May they make you smile. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.